Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Off and running into our second hour here on Sports Talk. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrett coming up. Deuce McAllister, Saints all-time leading rusher, will stop by at 5:20. Brooks Kubina at 5:35, talking a little LSU fall practice, the first scrimmage of the fall coming up tomorrow. It is closed to the media, but obviously some big doings for the LSU Tigers as they get ready for their opener against the Miami Hurricanes. The NCAA has denied an appeal to overturn a two-year suspension of LSU football player Christian Fulton, who got caught and admitted to cheating on a drug test. 2 years. Is that too harsh of a penalty or right on the money? 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Bobby, do you think that's too harsh, a two-year suspension for cheating on a drug test?
Well, if you look at the investigation and you compare it to other incidents that has happened in college football, I'd have thought 1 year would have been merited because he has not, I want to say he took over 30-something drug tests since then. And I think it was almost Holly went about doing it. And it was where trying to fake the test and then not realizing, you know, performance enhancing versus, drug tests is two different things. But I definitely think he was a guy that would have had a chance to start if he was eligible. Now, does he stick around? And because I think he has NFL ability. Does he stick around and play for LSU, you know, for one season? Or does he just decide to go pro, go play, you know, Canadian football or do something else? Because I think he is that good of a player. Remember, he was a five-star product out of Romo. But he was All-Metro Defensive Player of the Year in 2015. It's just a bad situation for him because whether it be the nickel or the opposite corner of Greedy Williams, I would not have been surprised if he was a starter. But just I guess you got to live with the consequence. But it'd be interesting to see what his lawyer and the appeals process. I'm not on top of that, but he definitely has the ability to play pro football. Just a shame. And I think the NCAA is a little too harsh with that two-year penalty, considering how that came about.
Bobby, I've gone back and forth on this as to exactly how I feel. Is it too harsh? And some instances I could say yes, because I am, and we are a nation of second chances, right? And, you know, you'd like to give Christian Fulton an opportunity. Then again, though, I'm also a consequences guy. I'm also a rules guy. If you break the rules, you got to pay the price. And ultimately, when you got caught and you admitted to cheating on the drug test, cheating a drug test, that's alarming in a lot of ways. And I can't just chalk this up to a guy to someone
well,
saying,
you
oh,
know,
he's
we got to investigate. We got to investigate that because I got to get up to speed on this, and I'm sure some texter could tell us that. It was like almost he turned himself in and, because it's a different type of suspension, performance-enhancing drugs versus a drug test. And so if he would have just taken the chance and rolled the dice, he never even would have got caught, a lot like my understanding. But he admitted it because he said, oh, well, I think I smoked pot or whatever, and that but they wasn't even like testing him for that. My
Bobby, I applaud that. I applaud that thought. But I can tell you, I just feel like at some point we have to recognize that whether he was 18, 19, or 20, you are an adult at that point. Whether you behave like one, that's a different story. But by the law, in the law's eyes, you are an adult. And at some point, you have to learn adult consequences. And if that's his consequence for 2 years, I don't like it just simply because I do believe people need to have second chances. But at the same time, I just don't like to bend rules or bend my principles based on an athlete or somebody, you know, doing something and then going back retroactively and going, yeah, well, he was a 19-year-old kid or 20-year-old kid at the time. Give him a break. I think that you have to set an example. You have to set the standard. And I think in this case, the NCAA is standing hard and fast in this. And like it or not, the NCAA has to draw a line in the sand. And with that, I can't argue.
Well,
I really can't.
I'm never going to take up an NCAA. There's so much hypocrisy there and how they treat other players on other teams. So I think, come on. The NCAA, think how they structured. They don't even have enough investigators. So they're telling teams you got to turn yourself in. Type thing. They can't even police themselves. So I think long term, I don't know, I'm going to say within 2025 that the NCAA is not even going to be part of the Power Five or the major. Like they might be in charge of the minor sports.
You're going to see the SEC and Big Ten and these other Power Five conferences break off and do their own deal. I agree with you.
So they're
going to be their own governing bodies, if you will.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to end up coming about. But I guess selfishly, I just wanted them to see him play in the LSU uniform this season.
The NCAA has denied an appeal to overturn a 2-year suspension of LSU football player cornerback Christian Fulton, who got caught and admitted to cheating on a drug test. Is the NCAA wrong here? Whose side are you on? Christian Fulton's? He believes he should be able to play this year? Or are you on side with the NCAA? 2 years, is that too harsh or right on the money for cheating and admitted to cheating on a drug test? 504-260-1870, text 870-870. This is Sports Talk. Deuce McAllister, Saints all-time leading rusher, coming up next here on WWL. Text here at 870-870. He was smoking weed while he was in Colorado. It was legal there. No, that's not the case. But if that were, that's still not a reason. Because, look, the bottom line is you're playing college football. It is not allowed. It's not allowed.
Well, just like
in the military. If you're in the military and you went to Colorado where it's legal, you can't smoke weed and then come back and tell your sergeant, hey, oh, I was in Colorado. It's legal there. No, by the UCMJ, it's not legal. Same thing.
Well Christian and like LSU even put it upon their shoulders, the athletic department, that they should have informed Christian Fulton more about what the test was about.
Yeah, he thought he was taking a drug test. It was over steroids.
He thought he was taking a drug test and his performance enhancing. Well, if they could inform them of that, then he would have taken the test and I guess not try and beat the system, and then we wouldn't even know about this, and nothing would have came about. I'm just telling you, they've had Duska tell you this. I don't understand how they even police this, because they've had a number of players across the country that they might test positive for pot 5, 6, 7 times, whatever.
Yeah.
And they kind of sweep it under the rug and hope nothing comes about. And,
but isn't that more of a team or a university policy? Well, here's what I do get, where I do get a little unnerved, is because Christian Fulton is serving a 2-year suspension. But if this were a coach, he would get far less, far less. And that's where I do think it is hypocritical. We welcome in now Saints all-time leading rusher Deuce McAllister, Saints color analyst at DMcAllister26 on Twitter. Deuce, we want to talk to you about the Saints, but how do you feel about Christian Fulton?
Just to chime in on the Christian Fulton situation.
Yeah.
And give you a little background on it. You guys are correct. But what he did was he tried to use someone else's urine, and he got caught trying to use someone else's urine for that drug test. When he actually went and took the drug test, because he took the drug test, he passed that drug test. He, like you guys are saying, thought it was for marijuana, and it was performance-enhancing drugs, which were basically talking steroids, probably amphetamines,
right,
different things of that nature. He would have gotten less, because normally it is a school policy. He would have gotten less for a failed marijuana test or that type of test than he has gotten for a 2-year suspension. He's basically got 2 years. And when you look at it, he did get to play his freshman year. So when he actually gets to play, because they denied the appeal, it will be next year, and he will only have 1 year of eligibility left to play.
And, Deuce, do you think, according, I think, to his father, that he's going to stay at LSU, and it only takes 1 year? I mean, the NFL is aware of his talent. Or do you think he maybe goes to Canadian football? Because there's different routes you could take. He can't go the JUCO route. I know that because
no, he can't go the JUCO route because he's listed as a junior. So
right,
he can't
right.
Go and play. The only thing for him that he technically could do, and I don't see him doing it, he could go down to NAIA or to a league where it's not governed by the NCAA. So if he goes down to a league that's not governed by the NC2A, he could play this year immediately.
And then
if
possibly
he wants to play under the NCAA rule, he has to wait one more year.
And Deuce, I guess, because I think he's going to have opportunity to play professional football. It'd be like if he went that route, that he'd be eligible for the draft next year, or does he want to prove himself 1 year at LSU? It only takes 1 year. I mean, it doesn't matter how old you are. If
that's,
all of a
that's
sudden,
that's all he'll have, though, Bobby.
Right, but I mean,
if now he's a junior, but he's gonna sit out 18 next year. He'll be a senior.
But what I'm saying, if he continues to train with the team and he excels in 1 year at LSU, that's not going to hinder him in the past if he's considered one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL after only 1 year
him,
play.
You would only have 1 year tape. So you know, if this young man, we know he was a five-star coming out of high school. We know he was a five-star. I don't see him with 1 year of tape being able to put himself in the first round. I think teams would more probably say late second, third, based off his potential in 1 year of tape. You know, so you're talking about if he could have done it for 2 years, then yes, you're talking about first round potential. But with 1 year, I mean, he would have to lead the SEC in interceptions and you know, just put up ridiculous numbers.
Yeah, would have to have that initial impact. Look what everyone thinks, Greedy Williams.
Correct.
You know, that's a guy that, yeah, come on. Talk about coming out of nowhere, what he did last year. And, you know, it can happen. I mean, listen, everyone thinks you have to have this long, illustrious career. Now, we're trying to set records and all that, yes. But the NFL, it's amazing how, Deuce, that, you know, diamond in the rough or, boy, you slipped under the radar. If you could play today, you're not slipping under no radar.
No, the scouts are too good, and for them to be able to get you in and talk to you and see some film, to be able to talk to some coaches, you know, they can find you regardless of where you are.
Deuce McAllister, Saints all-time leading rusher, at DMcAllister26 here on Twitter and on Sports Talk. Deuce, your initial impressions and takeaways of the Saints yesterday and their 24-20 win in the preseason opener over Jacksonville.
Initially, you're probably upset with your first unit, particularly the defense. But then you go back and you start watching some film. There were a couple opportunities where they had chances to get off the field on third down situations, and they just really didn't do it. You know, we've gone back and forth, us on Sports Talk, which is the most important. Is it pass rush or is it coverage? Last night, it was lack of pass rush, particularly with that first unit.
Right.
So you know your top two defensive ends did not play. Really, your top three defensive ends did not play. I don't think it's a cause for concern. If you're upset, I thought that there were a couple opportunities that they could have tackled better, and they didn't do so. And I know Sean kind of got after him a little bit in the with his press conference. But I thought overall a lot of guys at least moved themselves up with their performance, and you want to see how they do this upcoming week via practice as well as the game, because some guys were somewhat of an afterthought, and now whether they played them well on the team or at least, you know, more so in the conversation, I think some players definitely did that last night.
Now, Deuce, when you looked at the film, boy, that had to be a bust. When Blake Bortles, I mean, just kind of the bootleg on the goal line, walked in the end zone. What happened on that particular play, when your estimation as far as assignment?
I'm not sure of the assignment because they actually had it covered very, very well. What DeMario decided to do was take out the receiver that was running to the flat. When he did that,
well, somebody has contained, though, huh, Deuce? Somebody has that
to the corner. Well, no, he can't get to the corner. Kurt Coleman is coming across.
I got you.
And so whether they pass that off or, you know, it's a better job of communicating, I don't know who was the force guy. I don't know if DeMario was supposed to stay in the flat and come up if the quarterback decides to run or if Kurt really has to cover that much distance and ground to cover the bootleg. So I'm not sure which of the two guys, but they both were there in that area, in that vicinity. You know, you just have to do a better job of being able to tackle a quarterback or at least attack the quarterback.
Well, Deuce, looking at, you talk about tackling, and I'm not saying Von Bell's on the Kenny Vaccaro level, because one thing Kenny Vaccaro, to me, overall could tackle. Sometimes you get exploited in coverage, but looking at Von Bell, I think it was inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah, it was on the 5-yard line.
He got to make that tackle. I mean,
he's got to make that tackle. He's got to come up, wrap up. You know, I'm not sure if he was looking at him cleanly or he just, you know, hesitated too much, but he's got to make that tackle.
Deuce McAllister, Saints all-time leading rusher, looking forward to getting you back on Sports Talk over the weekend. Me and you will be hosting a special tomorrow from 3 to 6. Saints back on the practice field tomorrow morning. Deuce, we'll let you run, man. I know you got home safe, so I know you're probably a little jet lag. Thanks, Deuce.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, Deuce.
All right, there goes Saints all-time leading rusher. We'll step away and come back. Bobby and English turn. Buddy and Metairie. Also, Brooks Kubina covers LSU for The Advocate. They're in a scrimmage tomorrow. Also talking about this Christian Fulton story as well. Sports Talk rolls on here on WWL. The Saints just wrapping up pretty much a walk-through practice at the team's training facility on Airline Drive. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. This is Sports Talk. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Bobby, an English turn. You're on WWL, Bobby.
Hey, good afternoon, Christian. Bobby, how you guys doing?
All right, Bobby, what you got?
Nothing much. I got a concern, man, in regards to Kaha. We've been dealing with him with injuries, and he just seems like he's just holding up a roster spot. Do you guys know anything in regards to – I know he's being pushed, but I think we've just been holding on to him just a little bit too long. And I don't think he's suited for what we do as 4-3.
Well,
I think he's better suited for a 3-4 stand-up type of guy.
Well, Bobby, I think right place, right time. If he's healthy, he can make a roster and play the National Football League. And if you really look at it, he's going into his fourth year. And the reason why the Saints have been patient with him, now, you can only be so patient. You remember Stanley Jean-Baptiste, and now all of a sudden he's like on his fourth or fifth team. Kaka was a second-round draft pick in 2015. So I think that's why they want to kick the tires and, so to speak, and make sure they give him every opportunity. But when I just look at the numbers, I don't see Kakaha making this team. And he's a great guy, a great individual. I still think if he's healthy, he can and play for somebody in the right situation. But I think a lot of it, as far as their patience, and he's overcome a lot of adversity considering the serious knee injuries he's had, is because he was a second-round draft pick in 2015.
Look, I agree with Bobby and Bobby in particular. Look, I don't know that you've been holding on to him for too long. 3 years in the league, he is cheaper talent. So if he can make the roster, they're going to lean his direction because he's not costing anything. But he's spent the last 3 years, his first 3 years, two out of those 3 years, he's ended the season on injured reserve, and he's working with the threes right now. He's certainly buried on the depth chart, and I think that he doesn't fit necessarily what the Saints want to do with him. Ever since Dennis Allen took over as a DC, even after they fired Rob Stream, he hasn't had the same role that Kikaha had under Rob Ryan.
Well, Christian, you know what I look at him? Like the same version almost as far as production. You get 3 or 4 sacks, but Kasim Adebali even contributed more in special teams. But look where Kasim Adebali was drafted compared to Kikaha. That does make a difference when you're a young player. Yeah, exactly. So you look at the patience that they have there.
We're going to shift gears quickly. We apologize about the whiplash. Brooks Kubina, at B Kubina on Twitter, covers LSU football for The Advocate. They're taking place in their scrimmage tomorrow. And, Brooks, I know it's not open to the media, but who have some of the standouts been in the early goings of fall camp?
Well, some of the guys that people have been, O's been high on, and appreciate you guys having me on. It's been a lot of talk about Braden Fajoko at nose tackle. It seems like he's been a key figure in this practicing because Ed Alexander's been out with kind of an undisclosed injury, just kind of nitpicking at him. And Fajoko has been talked about by people like Rashard Lawrence, who's a guy who's, you know, rated the backfield, been real strong at nose tackle. He's quick. He's not your typical nose tackle that's, you know, real heavy and mobile. He's someone I think that benefits their defense a lot better, and what Aranda has been told to have wanted to do with more aggressive defense, a little more, some shifts and gaps and things like that. So he's been a guy there. Someone that O's been on in the backfield on offense, it seems like freshman Chris Curry is a guy he keeps bringing up. He's supposed to come and he wants compared him to Marshawn Lynch for the way that he's a powerful runner. And he said he's broken off a couple of big runs. And on Wednesday, they installed their red zone package and said he's been pretty good there. So, you know, those are some of the guys that I keep hearing names pop up, at least in my head.
So, Brooks, is there any player like that all of a sudden, a true high school freshman, that could contribute from the get-go as far as maybe because of opportunity or just because he can handle the load? Is there anyone that you could see contributing straight out of high school at a high level that, whoa, LSU fans going to look at it, man, this guy's a stud?
Well, one of them I just named, Chris Curry, a freshman. He's going to come in and play running back. He's really in the mix for that spot, and I'm sure LSU fans know all about how that spot is missing. Ever since Darius Geis left, and, you know, it's just part of what, you know, there's not a single guy on the roster that scored a touchdown for them. So there's a lot of place out there. I know Clyde Edwards-Alaire is someone that's going to contribute a lot, but Chris Curry sounds like he's going to get a pretty significant amount of carries to go right away. And Ogeron's been real high on what he's been able to do.
Now, Brooks, with Christian Fulton not being available, what's going to happen opposite of Greedy Williams? Because I think if Fulton was available, whether it was opposite of Greedy Williams or nickel slot, that he was going to end up playing. But, listen, you got to have depth and all. But what is your take right now? Who's in the lead opposite Greedy?
If you had asked me at the beginning of camp, I would have figured it to be Stanford transfer Terrence Alexander. But recently, Orgeron's been talking about him in the nickel slot a lot. He's kind of been a guy that they feel has a lot of experience and can go in there and even play corner. Sounds like he's going to be more of a spot corner and shift in there where he can. So it sounds more like, you know, a guy like Kerry Vincent Jr. is going to come in there. You know, O's been talking about him at a high level, playing very consistent ball and making good tackles. It sounds like he's one of the guys in the mix for this. If I was going to pick at this point, that sounds like the guy that Orgeron's been saying to be there. But at that spot, John Cherry Kirkland's, you know, he's got a really good background in high school and how he's played. And, I mean, he might make a run at it, but right now, Terrence Alexander sounds like he's going to be in that nickel spot. And now without Christian Fulton, it's probably going to be Kerry, at least at this moment. That's who I would think that this team has their number on.
Now, Brooks, looking at the offensive line, obviously you got to have depth there. But what is your take? You think Cushenberry's going to work out at center? Because at times you're going to have two centers who can play center or guard. But all of a sudden – not all hands on deck. So what is your take on the offensive line in that center position?
Well, Orgeron's been kind of back and forth on Christian Berry. He's kind of talked about him in that. He's most recently said he had a good day of practice the other week. But, you know, that the offensive line depth has been interesting because ever since Ed Ingram moved out or was been suspended indefinitely,
right,
they've been the moves all over the place. He talked a lot about he's talked a lot about Garrett Brumfield and there's a new guy that they brought in for themselves too. Damian Lewis, the guard that might shift people around. But right now it seems like Cushenberry is going to be the lead center. He's talked about moving guys over from offensive tackle. Chasen Hines is a guy that they've put in at offensive guard, and it's really a question of who fills around. So it's really not at a point right now where I think they've really figured that out. I think that's still going on here in practice, and especially after tomorrow's scrimmage, they'll probably have a better idea of where people go. I think it has to
mixing
do a lot
up
with what Cushenberry does.
My fault. Mixing up with Brooks Kubina at B Kubina on Twitter, covers LSU football for The Advocate. LSU will hold a fall competitive scrimmage tomorrow, inter-squad scrimmage. Brooks, when I look at this, and you talked about the defense, you know, you have an idea that the defense is, again, going to be its usual salty self and pretty solid, but has anybody stood out in the quarterback competition?
You know, that's the question everybody wants to know, right? You know, he keeps Ogeron keeps saying Miles Brennan is at his best day. Miles Brennan is at his best day. So if that's him talking accurately, then it sounds like he favors Brennan every now and then, because Brennan's been taking some first snaps, at least in front of the 20 minutes that we get as the media to see. And then Justin McMillan's been taking the first snaps. And, you know, but, you know, as we ask questions about Joe Burrow, he keeps talking positive about him. And I think, you know, it's very difficult to judge or gauge what the quarterback hunt is like right now, because it's just too early. You know, they just installed their first kind of packages and situations, and Ogeron said as much on Wednesday. He's like, it's too early to even sort this out. So, but he keeps saying Brennan's doing well, but, you know, until they actually see how they play on Saturday, I doubt we really have any idea of where these guys sit.
Brooks Cabina, at B Cabina on Twitter, covering LSU football for The Advocate. Thanks for the time, man. We appreciate the knowledge.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brooks.
All right, you bet. We'll step away and come back for Buddy and Metairie and Neil in Mandeville. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Preseason game number one in the books for the Saints, a 24-20 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars last night. Looking ahead to next Friday night at home in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, preseason game number two against the Arizona Cardinals. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Buddy on line two in Metairie. You're on WWL, buddy.
Hey, Bobby and Christian. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
I was recruited. I'm the biggest mess up in the world. I was recruited to go to the Demons, you know, at Northwestern in 1974.
Right.
But I decided to go to LSU and walk on, and I ended up at USL because of my bad choices. This young fella is going to learn a lot from the situation he's in right now. Matter of fact, I was headed to a meeting because of my problems. That's not what I really called about. I'm calling about the NCAA is setting a precedent with this young man's life. I mean, he did something wrong, but the NCAA is not even a legal entity. And I don't know if I'm saying correctly, but they playing with this man's life. If you understand the gist of what I'm trying to say.
Well, buddy, I'm not an NCAA fan. To me, they're too inconsistent on their rulings. You just look at different examples at different schools and how they treat individual players, or something might seem more severe. You might look at a case just being objective and say, well, this looks way more serious than this, and the penalty, you know, the penalty doesn't justify the crime, you know, at times. But I think there's so much money involved now, with college football, especially, you know, look at the Power Five or you look at the SEC, that I don't see the NCAA being the answer long-term as far as being able to police all these schools. And so I think
Though, Bobby, right now, currently, that's the system in which we have to go by. It's unfortunate. Look, and I don't agree with a lot of things the NCAA does. I just don't, in a lot of ways. I think they're hypocritical in so many ways. But as we stand here today, on August 11th, we gotta. It's the only thing, the only option we got right now.
Well, and buddy, the one thing, and it seems like you know, you got a solid family, that being Christian Fulton. That bottom line, you go to college to get a good job, a good opportunity, and obviously you'd want to have a great career at LSU. But he's on the radar as far as talent and ability. So to get played to play professional football, looking at him played at LSU, look at Delvin Bro. Now he's trying to make it in the NFL, you know, when he had broke his neck, and looking for the opportunity there that eventually came about with the Saints, and he's still trying to, you know, make it in the NFL. That Christian Fulton, even though the NCAA, you might say, it wasn't fair to him, I still think he's going to have an opportunity and look at it as a learning experience if he truly can make it in the NFL and you know, look at it as a great opportunity to support himself, his family, whatever in the future, because I think he could potentially be on that level. And he's going to look back at this, and you got to look long-term more than short-term, if that makes sense. And there is a light at the end of the tunnel for him.
Can they give him a red shirt? I don't know. I'm reeling here. Can they give him like a red shirt year? Could that come into
if
play?
They,
like
if they were willing to do that, if they were willing to do that, they would have repealed his suspension. I mean, you just answered your own question.
True.
Well, the way I look at it, if he stays at LSU, he has 1 year to shine, and he's been practicing with the team, and he's amongst the best. No, he would be. If he was available, you look at the depth at LSU, he would be in the top two or three cornerbacks. Whether you're putting him opposite of Greedy Williams or in the nickel, he would be playing. I think he has that skill set for sure.
Thanks for the phone call, buddy. We'll step away and come back. Neil in Mandeville and also a Saints practice report as well. This is Saints Radio, WWL, AMFM.com. The New Orleans Pelicans 2018-2019 schedule is out, and the Pels play 13 games on either ESPN or TNT. That is a franchise record, Bobby. Just goes to show you the success they had a year ago. The national scene has taken notice.
Well, they've taken notice, but, I mean, do you think the Pelicans are going to build upon what they did last season? I mean, I don't. I mean, what I mean by that, are they truly going to be relevant?
No, there's only two teams that are going to – I mean, there's only a handful of teams that are going to be relevant in the West. The West is
– I think Boogie Cousins, Rondo, especially Rondo, I think the Pelicans could still be good and make the playoffs, but it doesn't mean they could be heading in the right direction to win anything. Have you done anything to convince Anthony Davis that he wants to be here? I mean, I don't know. It could be, well, the highest paid player considering what he achieved, being first team All-Star and amongst the best. So I don't know. I was really discouraged when Rondo was no longer in the fold. And when you look at it, I mean, in these parts, depending on what the Saints do, I know I'm definitely interested February the 23rd when LeBron and the Lakers come to town. But – I mean, I don't know. I'd be more encouraged if all of a sudden Boogie Cousins or Rondo would be in the fold, or they have a bunch of players that, okay, now who's that? You know, unless you truly follow basketball, I mean, to say that you can't wait for October the 17th to kick off the season at Houston, I don't think that'd be the case. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.